In this season and in this year of opportunity, as I started in the pre-message, it's a lot of opportunities that present themselves. We got to pray and be careful that they're the right opportunities. We're not supposed to fear opportunities, but we are supposed to explore them. But the new opportunities will create in us as humans some type of trepidation, especially if it's something we've never done before. Anybody bear witness what I'm saying? Especially if it pulls you totally out of your comfort, pushes you into a different place. So I went before the Lord about, a big thing that's sitting in front of me. It's a very big thing. A new building. I'm still believing for the 60,000 square foot one, but their asking price doesn't line up. And even if they came to my asking price, my finances are yet not lining up yet with even the price I want it for. But they came to me with a new property, another office building that's smaller, can put like eight apartments in it. The price range falls like literally almost right in my pocket, that I would have to, if a loan, if I had to take out a loan, it wouldn't be very, very much. And I went before the throne about it. I went and saw the place. Nadia and I went, we looked at it, and very nice. Now, and Celine, this will bless you. Everybody that's come at me so far has said, that's ridiculous. Why don't you just buy properties that are already houses and then fix, do a little bit of fixing and rent them out? Why are you trying to take these office spaces and convert them? That's way more money. It's construction loans involved. There's all kind of stuff before you can even start to make money on it and blah, 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 blah. Why do that? Don't do that. Go find houses or two family houses that are already houses and go ahead and do that. So just to let you know, Celine, you're not the only one who gets it. I get it too. And I said, okay, it sounds sensible. And I went before God and God was like, you're flipping off his buildings. And I was like, and there we go. Nobody thinks it's a great idea, but my spirit bears witness is a good idea. And why does my spirit bear witness is a good idea? Because, watch this close, what I'm about to say. Because I'm seeking the Lord to find out how he wants to be glorified and what he's calling me to. I'm seeking God to say, well, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, anybody could go buy a house. I'm telling you to do something that people have to stand back and go, wow. That's really amazing. My mind is going back a lot. I've been watching it, and Nelly and I were looking at the video. Kwame took us out a couple of years ago to a place where they were showing a fight. Kwame, I'm sure you remember Fury and Deontay Wilder. And I didn't know anything about either of them. I just came to see the fight. But Kwame was giving me his take. This guy's a boxer. This guy's a brawler. Boxer's gonna always be the brawler. Well, that makes sense to me. I come from a fighting background. I totally get that. Unless he gets sloppy and the brawler gets it in. Do you understand the difference? I don't act like I'm talking to you and you know the difference between a boxer and a brawler. Okay. Muhammad Ali is a boxer. You know that? You know enough to know that. He'll dance around, he'll move, he'll slip. Floyd Mayweather is a boxer. Let me bring something closer to your generation, right? He tries not to get hit. He don't get in the middle of the ring and have a slugfest with you. He dances around, he moves, he keeps his face out the way he tries to keep from getting hit. If he can beat you by knockout, fine. If not, he'll beat you by points. But he's not going to get in the middle of the ring like a Mike Tyson would do and just try to just punch your head off, come out the corner trying to knock you out as soon as they come out the corner. It's a little bit different. And respect to Mike. Mike used to be a boxer. Then after he got with Don King, he became more of a brawler. I'm just trying to give you a little history. He wasn't always just come out and just try to punch you out with two punches. He used to bob, weave, and know how to use his body in a fight. People know what I'm saying, that know what I'm saying. So I'm nobody gonna listen to this message and be mad at me. If they do, who cares? Here's the point. The point is, I watched this fight and I watched this guy who was a brawler come out at this guy. And somewhere early in the fight, he straight knocked the boxer. He knocked him out. I mean, he knocked him out. That it was a knockout. It wasn't a knockdown. His eyes rolled back in his head. He hit the floor. That punch, that combination was clean. That guy threw his best shot and he was out cold. And then, like something out of a wrestling match in WWE, his eyes opened up. He sat up and he stood back up on his feet and finished the rest of the round winning. Now, if you know anything about fighting, that's not how it works. If you get tagged in your day, especially you got knocked out and you made it up at the bell, it's to the guy's benefit to come and try to finish you off while you're still weak, while your knees are wobbly, while you're not there. Please understand there's a reason I'm giving you all this analogy. You come in and you try to close that fight now. And he came in and closed the fight, and the guy who got knocked out wound up closing the fight. He beat the crap out of him for the rest of that round. That's not supposed to happen. Now, I'm giving you this for a reason. Pre-fight interviews, the guy Tyson Fury proclaimed that he was born again. He was a Christian. He was suicidal and all this, and he gave his life to Jesus, and he was back, and he was a new man, and he had Christ with him. The guy Deontay was saying he got the ancestral spirits from Nigeria, and he's got, these alter egos that come over him and take over, and this is how he wins the fight. And the demons, even in the interview, start manifesting themselves. And the other guy, Fury, kept saying, "I'm going to beat you, and I know I'm going to beat you. I'm going to tell you why, because you're dependent on spirits, and you're dependent on alter egos, and you're dependent on demons. And I don't want to talk to you," he starts saying to the demon. Let Deontay come back, because I don't want to talk to you." It's like almost he was performing an exorcism right up there in the interview. You're looking up Wilder Fury 2. And he said, "No, I'm not dealing with this." And he Wilder with the spirits was saying, "We're going to get inside of you. You're going to make your bones chill in the middle of the night. You're going to feel the power. You can't win. You're going to lose." And he started yelling his chant at the top of his voice. And he kept saying, "Yeah, I got Christ. I'm going to beat you, dude." Now, this is the dude who got knocked out and got back up. He cleaned his clock. I mean, he beat the crap out of Wilder. Beat Wilder so bad that Wilder got saved, because Wilder said there's no way he got back up after getting knocked out like that. He said when his eyes opened back up and he got up, you could see the fear in his face. He was like, "There's no way he did that without God." Huh. What a testimony. What am I saying? This is a year of opportunity, and God has called us to do things, but He's called us to do it. You listening to me? You listening to me? So that He can get glory out of it. So somebody may look at you, and you may look like you got knocked flat out, like everything you stepped up to do, your new business venture, that new dream you stepped into, that thing you've been doing a while, and it ain't been manifested yet, and you're ready to quit and give up or give it half your heart, whatever the case may be. You're there. People are watching. They're watching. They're going to see if you're going to get back up. And if you don't get back up, you're going to say, "See, we knew your whole faith in God thing wasn't real anyway." And when he knocked him out, you could see the crowd and everybody who was cheering for Wilder was like, But when his eyes opened up and he got back up, and that just got back up wobbly, got back up bouncing, God showed something that day. That's something that's going to be an annals of boxing. You're never going to take it away. It's the videos are all on YouTube for you to see the conversation, the outcome, and the fact that Wilder went and gave his life to Christ. All of this stuff. The next fight they had, Wilder was up there on the mic saying, "I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." My point is, we're here to give God glory. I'm funny about using that statement because it's been used so wrong in the church. God don't need us to give him a squat in terms of glory. He got all the glory he needs. But it's our act of worship. It's our gift. It's our offering to him of thanks for what he's done and continues to do for us. It is our opportunity to say, not that I'm going to show people what God blessed me with and my new car and all that. Oh, there's people who have a better car than you. Nobody cares about that. There's always got somebody got a better house than you. Nobody cares about that. But what they care about, if they could say the richest man in the world could be Elon Musk or whoever, if they see you and see you standing for what you believe, worshiping your God, and then you get knocked down and it looks like it's over for you and your eyes pop open and you rise back up and come back and win. This is the glory we can say, I told you. I told you. Be hot, be cold, don't be lukewarm. Now, if you go with me to Psalms 105, I want to talk about who we are and why we're here. And what I'm dealing with right now in myself is that I had an opportunity to have lunch again with my son. And I was aware of something in the whole conversation. And for me, it was, you're not trying to win him back. You're trying to show the healing of God or the growth of God in your life. That's what God showed me. He said, you're not, I didn't put your back together for you to try to rekindle some anything. I put you back around so he can see me in you and you can see me in him. I put your back around each other so that you, both of you can see what I can do with a submitted heart. Okay. So I'm not here to try to win him over. No, not trying to make up for yesterday. No, I'm not trying to fix broken bridges. No, I put you there so he can look at you and see what happens to a man, even if he's down, that stays next to me. I put you there and I'm putting you in front of people so they can see what happens with a heart that is committed to worshiping and bringing the glory they can bring to God. Amen. So, starting at verse 1 in Psalms 105, it says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds amongst the people. Let me just do that one more time. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, that's showing thanksgiving, call upon his name, that's prayer. And then make known his deeds. That's testify. Come on, walk with me a little bit, because we're going on a little journey today. Thank him. Pray to him. And then share the story. Well, I go out and tell everybody about Jesus. No, 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 no. Share the story by them seeing you get up when you've been knocked down, when they see that when it looks like it's over for you, you still stand strong. You share his glory by example more than by conversation. Can I get an amen, somebody? Sing to him, sing praise to him. Speak of some of his wonderful works. Are you agreeing and nodding? What does it say? Speak of all of his wonderful acts and devote praise. And this is the one that hit me. To them. I had this wrong the whole time. Speak of all his wonderful acts and devote praises to them. Who's them? Who's them? I want somebody, if you want to just unmute and tell me who them is, or put it in the chat. Who is them? Because that's a very important statement. That's a very important statement. Speak of all his wonderful acts and devoutly praise them. What's he talking about? His wonderful acts. I never knew God wanted me to give praise to his acts. I always thought he wanted me just to give praise to him. Somebody need to listen to what's being said right now today. God is saying, that's how you praise me with the acts too. When you go to people and you just sharing my faith, well, there's all kinds of gods. And you know, it's funny, you look online and you see the people arguing and debating, and they start talking about you and your sky daddy and all those kind of smart remarks I see up there all the time. And I'm like, yeah, because you got a conversation and they got a conversation. But boy, when you got the acts to praise, when you got the wonders that he's performed in your life to hold up as a banner to show proof that what you say is true, when people see you flipping and flopping and wishy-washy, and one day you believe this and then you don't know, and he said this, but I'm not really sure, and they're like, yeah, you're no different than the rest of us. It's so funny. Remember at one point, Nelly was saying, somebody said to her, which I won't name, said to her, you're not in the place to tell me what's right and what's wrong because you're in the same place I'm in. You're not better than me. So he didn't want to hear it, or she didn't want to hear it, whoever, just whatever they were, right? And now the fruit speaks. You can't argue with the fruit. This is the manifestation of me standing on that word that made me once look like a fool. Did you hear what I'm saying here today? Type amen in the chat or something. Now it might make you have to mess up your camera, but if you can, just go ahead and do it. This is what he's talking about. Speak of all his wonderful acts and devoutly praise them. I'm still having trouble with this one in my human self because I never understood that I can praise God and praise his acts. I'm like, no, you don't praise the creation. You praise the creator. Said, no. I'm saying praise the works that I've done, that I parted the Red Sea. That's what you see the psalmist talking about. Give glory to the God of our fathers who parted the Red Sea for us, who led us out of Egypt, out of captivity. They're praising the act along with the Father. Because what good is a father without the act? What good is a God that you say you have that you have no evidence to show that he's real? I don't know. Well, didn't the scripture say that? Didn't Jesus tell them, to go back to John the Baptist, don't only tell him what you heard, but tell him what you seen. He made it very clear when John said, are you the one? Should we look for another? Go back and tell him not only what you heard, but what you seen. Talk about the acts. Talk about what he's done. I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to just stop a minute and ask a question. How many Christians, how many of you right here, right now, feel more comfortable talking about your faith to other believers than to the unsaved? Talking about God's acts and his wondrous works and how he brought you through and what he did for you and the miraculous things he's done. How many people feel more comfortable talking about it to other believers, but not the world? See, thank you for being honest, sis, because you know they're going to look at you funny. So when I tell my story about the hospital to people, yeah, it must have been something you ate. Yeah, it must have been something you did. All right, look, I got pictures. You want to see the urine and with the blood in it? I got pictures. I got the doctor's report. It's in there clearly. They don't send you to do a CAT scan because you drank too much apple juice. Okay, or beet juice or whatever juice. They did that because they thought it was a problem. They named the problems on the report. Possibly cancer or kidney failure. They said it to a few hours later say, we need to send you home because ain't nothing wrong with you. But I need to tell you this. Days after I came out of the hospital, it was worse. I didn't even tell y'all. It started back and it was worse, and it was clearly blood. And it was worse. And I had to decide at that moment, I'm still going to tell my story. And I'm still going to say, God healed me. And I'm still going to talk about the glory. And Nellie and I stood, and she said, yep, yeah, same thing when I was believing to be healed. It looked like it got worse for a minute, but we stood. And we stood together. And just like the mess that it is, it just the lie that the devil can be, it just went right away. Or the lie that he is, it went right away. And I haven't had a problem since. And I've been phenomenal since. My point is, this is the opportunity for me to tell anybody. I put that thing together in a text story and I sent it out to everybody. And yes, I am going to post it. When I started Vision Builders, I didn't really touch on faith stuff. I talked on, spoke on business stuff. But I don't know if you noticed lately, I've been going in with it. Like, no, you can't have an experience like that and then say, well, no, I'm doing why, because I don't want to run some audience away. I want to run everybody away who don't want to hear about my God. You know what I'm saying? Because my point is, you're going to know who I am and what I stand for. And I'm not going to bite my tongue or try to, curb what I say to fit into anybody's picture. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say who I am, and I'm going to say what I have to say. And I've gotten a few inbox comments, none of them bad, about the Oprah video, when I just went, God, God, God. Like, we're not going back and forth with all of this, this movement of the earth and the spirits of the universe. And yeah, it's God, right? That's it. Boom, done. So my point is, we're here to give thanks, call upon his name, pray, then to make known his deeds. But the fact that it put so much emphasis on this making known his deeds is what got me. Sing to him, sing praise to him, speak of all of his wonderful acts, and devoutly praise them. Then it says, glory in his holy name. I want to let you know before I go forward. One more time. I just want to drive this one more time before I go forward. How many of you never saw or understood the fact that the word tells us to give glory to his works and his acts or his moves on your behalf? Be honest. Like, I never heard it supposed to praise the works. See? See? And I didn't know it. I've been pastoring for years. I didn't know it. I may have read it and never saw it. But there it is right there, isn't it? So, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek and require of the Lord as their most essential need rejoice. Seek and deeply long for the Lord and his strength, his power, and his might. So now we're back to him and his deeds. Oh, and I didn't give you the title. God and His Deeds is the title. Watch this. He's right back again to seeking God, glorifying God. Let me just take it right back from where we started. Verse 3, glory in His name. I do all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No. It gives you very specific right here. Let the heart of those who seek and inquire of the Lord as their most essential need. Most important thing you need is him. We got that. Rejoice. Seek and deeply long for the Lord and his strength, his power, and his might. That's back to his deeds. His strength, his power, and his might. That's back to his deeds. It's back to what he does for you. God don't have strength and power and might so he can pose for you in a Speedo and his shirt off so you can see his ribs. Okay? His power and his might is to demonstrate on your behalf in your life the things that he can do for and with you. What deeds you know about other than what he does here on earth for you? You don't know what's going on up there. All I know is the angels, millions of angels bow down around him and worship him. But he's saying here on the earth, give praise for him for his power and his might. Then it says this, watch, something I would have never preached. Seek and deeply long for his face, right? His presence over his acts, right? And his presence continually. So now it's always saying to me, the predominant focus is his face, not his hands or the things he can do for you. But the things he does for you, you're supposed to wear them around you as a banner. You're supposed to tape them to your chest or on your forehead or wherever you want and walk around the street so the world can see it. You're supposed to be able to say, these are the wonders and mighty works that my God, my Father does. This whole message is about how we praise. And how we praise is not just in prayer time on Sunday while the music is playing. It's not when we're in our house and we turn the music on and not too loud because we don't want to disturb the neighbors and they file a noise complaint. And then we worship in our room somewhere and enclose it because you don't want to disturb the family. You know, that's not the praise he's talking about. He's talking about that praise when you come out of your room and you hit the streets so that the world can see. So I know a lot of people, and even myself at times, I would be in certain places, and I'm not saying go around and be a religious fanatic and throw in everybody's face and bother people and put, you know, praise candles on your desk at work and all that kind of stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. He's talking about his works. Anybody can light a candle, a Satan worshiper can light a candle on his table. All right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the works that, well, maybe some people just don't have no works to talk about. Well, then we got a different problem then, don't we? Because if we serve the Lord, we should have a story to tell. And that story should be continued. It should be back 1965 when God healed me of a tumor. Okay. Yeah. Where's your walk with God now that you don't have a story to tell? And I'm going to say something that might be a little offensive. It might be a little bothering to some people, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you don't have any recent stories to tell, it's because you ain't done nothing with the old ones. If you ain't been praising him with the old stuff, he may be real slow on the new stuff for you. Who here bears witness to what I'm talking about? If I want God to keep blessing me and moving forward, I need to keep telling everybody. Everywhere. I told the doctor straight up, God healed me. Well, maybe, yeah, whatever, dude. I was walking around saying I'm healed before he even came back with his report. I just want to make sure you understand that. I said, when God told me to get up out of this bed, I said, I'm not walking around here. I put my clothes on and I said, can you take this thing out of my arm? Well, we need to wait for the doctor to come back with the report. I literally told the people at the desk, tell them to email it to me. Just take this thing. Wow. They wouldn't let me leave. I was like, listen, just take this IV thing out. I'm ready to go. He can email me. Let me know what his findings are. They hurry up and got him back in there because I homeboy getting ready to leave. Like, I give me a little more time. I was gonna reach and pull that sucker out myself. Like, I'm ready to go. Like, tell me what's going on. I'm ready to go. And I stood there by the desk. They said, well, just wait in the room. He'd be there. I'm like, no, I'm going to stay right here by the desk. The nurse got so tired of me standing there. They got him there to get me out there. They just, we going, matter of fact, that one of the nurses behind the desk said, let me just take this thing out just so you could be ready. I'm like, yeah, I'm not sitting in here. I'm ready to go. Like, you know, I'm healed. And when he came back with the report, I was like, exactly, get this thing out of my arm. I'm ready to get out of here. Well, you still got to be careful because if you keep bleeding, it could be cancer. Yeah. Your love saying that. I figured you out. Get this thing out, mom, so I can go home. I walked in here, I'm walking out. I'm saying that's my testimony, and I'm going to tell it. And I'm going to tell it to anybody who stands still long enough to hear it. And then I got something that I never had before. I got medical records to prove it. Here they are. Here's what they say. You are a living epistle. You are a walking documentary. You are here to live and represent the goodness of God. That's what you're here for. That's how you give him glory. That's the glory he needs. You are here to share. Yeah, but you know, there's things in my life, you know, that's not so good. All right, then don't talk about those. Talk about the ones that are good then. Talk about the things that you got right. And if the things that are not right come up, say, yeah, well, I didn't say I was perfect. I said I was his. It's a difference. I didn't say I had it all right. I said I have him right. I have him right in my life. That's what I need. I'm not here to talk about what I am and what I'm not. I'm here to talk about what he is and what he's not. I'm here to talk about what he's done, not what I've done. I'm here to talk about what he can do and does do, not what I did and what I used to do. So if you want to try to get back and forth with me, well, you ain't as all this. And yeah, I remember when I remember too, but I also remember you still doing that and I have him now. So if you whatever you want to do. This is my conversation. This is my testimony. Ain't no man going to just get up from a situation that man was a heavyweight champion and say, I gave my life to Jesus because I saw that man get up. First of all, he took my belts. And then second of all, he got up. All right. Listen, those are the stories that we're here to tell. We're living epistles. We're an example of Christ. How? By telling people I go to church. I'm on Zoom every Sunday. Okay, yeah, and oh yeah, my pastor is such and such a. Okay, yeah, and what's your story? You know, people love to brag about their pastor. Oh, I got Bishop such and such a, the such and such a, such and such church of 59th degree of membership. Yeah, but what are you doing? What role are you playing that brings glory to God and glory to his works? I can go on and on and on, but I'm gonna bring it home right here. Glory in his name, verse 3 again, in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek and require of the Lord as their most essential need rejoice. He needs to be the most essential need. Seek and deeply long for the Lord and his strength, his power, and his might. Seek and deeply desire him first, and then seek and deeply desire his moves, his power, and his deliverance, and his miracles, or whatever that is next. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Seek him, and then seek what he can do. I'm try it again. Seek him, then seek what he will do and can do. Seek his might, seek his power. Why? Because that's how you get to glorify his works. You got to have his works in your life to glorify them. You got to have something to talk about. You got to have a story to tell. You got to be able to say, I remember when and I'm here now. Or I remember when I do, but I love now being able to say, oh no, I remember just last month. I never had to sit up in the hospital bed. First time at the age of 65, I'm sitting up in a hospital bed with a tube of a thing up in my arm, and I don't know what it's called, and sitting up there and trying to get me the gown, and because I'm not putting none of this mess on, I'm get out of here. I'm sitting right here, and after a while, I was like, I'm putting my shoes and socks back on. I'm not getting in this bed. And it's the thing is. I'm not saying that to brag on me. I'm saying to brag on his works. And I think part of the reason why I didn't want to brag on his works sometimes is because I felt like I was bragging on myself, or people took it as arrogance. And they do. Of course they do. But so what? I'm going to be arrogant about my God. I'm going to be arrogant about his works. So those of you who are stepping out right now to do great things for God and believe in God for great things in this year of opportunity. When those opportunities happen and those things are presented to you, talk about his goodness. Talk about what you believe in God for. Talk about how God, in a famine, let you grow a harvest. When there was no rain and there was a drought, your vegetables still grew. Everything still went exactly where he said it. Talk about doing the thing God has called you to do, where everybody tells you is not a good idea, it's crazy, but your spirit bears witness. And then tell your story. Tell your story of what you believe in God for as he leads you to everybody who would listen. He'll tell you to who to talk to, and let the naysayers say nay. That's why they're called naysayers. They say nay. That's what their job is. They say they don't have any other job on the planet. Their job is naysaying. That's what they do. Social media is full of them. That's what they do. That's their job. Don't argue with them. Don't debate with them. You a naysayer, I'm a yaysayer. This is the way it works. What fellowship does light have with dark? We can't walk together except we be agreed. I got that you don't believe. I got that you don't understand. I got that you don't receive it. I got all of that. But when I come back and show you the results, you some people still gonna say nay. That's what they do. I ain't mad. You keep saying nay. I'm gonna keep going to the God who says yay and amen to all of his promises. And that's the way I'm going to end this message. Well, our God promises a yes. And amen. And when he does, it is your job. It is my job to get out there and glorify him and his wonderful works. I don't know about you, but I'm all for it. In Jesus' name, love and blessings. Amen. Lord, I just want to thank you.